He forced himself to look back. Pierre Callahan's hand dropped onto his shoulder.
Son, are you all right? You're awfully pale.
I'm okay, Jake said.
A lump had risen in his throat, quite a large one. But he forced himself to swallow past it and repeat what he'd just said, telling the lie to himself rather than to the pair.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Callahan nodded and shifted his own gunner, the half-hearted pack sack of a town man who does not in his heart believe he's going anywhere, from his left shoulder to his right.
And what's going to happen when we get up to that cave? If we can get up to that cave?
Jake shook his head. He didn't know. 3. The path was okay. A good deal of loose rock had shaken down on it, and the going was arduous for the men carrying the coughs, but in one respect their way was easier than before. The quake had dislodged the giant boulder that had almost blocked the path near the top. Eddie peered over and saw it lying far below, shattered into two pieces. There was some sort of lighter, sparkly stuff in its middle, making it look to Eddie like the world's largest hard-boiled egg. The cave was still there, too, although a large pile of talus now lay in front of its mouth. Eddie joined some of the younger Manny in helping to clear it, tossing handfuls of busted-up shale, garnets gleaming in some of the pieces like drops of blood, over the side. Seeing the cave's mouth eased a band which had been squeezing Eddie's heart, but he didn't like the silence of the cave, which had been damnably chatty on his previous visit. From somewhere deep in its gullet, he could hear the grating whine of a draft, but that was all. Where was his brother Henry? Henry should have been bitching about how Balazar's gentleman had killed him, and it was all Eddie's fault. Where was his ma, who should have been agreeing with Henry and in equally dolorous tones? Where was Margaret Eisenhart complaining to Henchik, her grandfather, about how she'd been branded forgetful and then abandoned? This had been the cave of the voices long before it had been the doorway cave, but the voices had fallen silent. And the door looked stupid, was the word which first came to Eddie's mind. The second was unimportant. This cave had once been informed and defined by the voices from below. The door had been rendered awful and mysterious and powerful by the glass ball, Black 13, which had come into the Kala through it. But now it's left the same way, and it's just an old door that doesn't... Eddie tried to stifle the thought and couldn't. That doesn't go anywhere. He turned to Henchik, disgusted by the sudden welling of tears in his eyes, but unable to stop them.
There's no magic left here, he said.
His voice was wretched with despair.
There's nothing behind that fucking door but stale air and fallen rock. You're a fool and I'm another.
There were shocked gasps at this. But Henchik looked at Eddie with eyes that almost seemed to twinkle.
Louis, Thani, he said almost jovially, bring me the Branikov.
Two strapping young men with short beards and hair pulled back in long braids stepped forward. Between them they bore an ironwood cough about 4 feet long and heavy from the way they carried the poles. They set it before Henchik.
Open it, Eddie of New York.
Thani and Louis looked at him, questioning and a little afraid. The older Manny men, Eddie saw, were watching with a kind of greedy interest. He supposed it took a few years to become fully invested in the Manny brand of extravagant weirdness. In time, Louis and Thani would get there, but they hadn't made it much past peculiar as yet. Henchik nodded, a little impatiently. Eddie bent and opened the box. It was easy, there was no lock. Inside was a silk cloth. Henchik removed it with a magician's flourish and disclosed a plumb bob on a chain. To Eddie it looked like an old-fashioned child's top and was nowhere near as big as he had expected. It was perhaps 18 inches long from its pointed tip to its broader top and made of some yellowish wood that looked greasy. It was on a silver chain that had been looped around a crystal plug set in the cough's top.
Take it out, Henchik said.
And when Eddie looked to Roland, the hair over the old man's mouth opened, and a set of perfect white teeth displayed themselves in a smile of astounding cynicism.